Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Back with us today to speak on injustice is our special guest, Chinupa Buhamani. Speaks injustice to the people of color and various ethnicities. Now more than ever, with the great divide fueled by our current national leadership, unity is most important among all of these ethnicities. We want to hear from our red brother about the injustices that goes on in this country, the division, the stealing of properties that don't even belong to many. So let's welcome our red brother of Lakota County, known as Chinupa Buhamani, and his guests who have all become family to those accepting that privilege. Are you with us, Chinupa? Hello? Chinupa? Can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me? Chinupa, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm not Chinupa.
Okay, is Chinupa on with us?
I don't know. My name is Josh Butterfly. I'm with Project Open Doors out of Great Falls, Montana.
Okay. He did mention that the others would be on. So, again, can you introduce yourself? I'm sorry. I didn't catch the full name.
Yes, my name is Josh Butterfly. I am with Project Open Doors out of Great Falls. We are a nonprofit who assists individuals after a term of incarceration to get back on their feet.
Oh, okay. Okay. And we have someone else on the line with us, 406. Are you 505?
No.
406?
406. Yeah, I'm 406, but 505 now.
Okay. We have someone on with us from 505. Can you introduce yourself as well?
Ursula Youngbear. I'm from Porcupine, South Dakota, but I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay. You know, I'm honored to have both of you on. Chinupa has been talking about the different tribes, the different areas, the different states. So can you introduce, tell a little bit about yourself as well?
Me, I'm just down here. I'm a tribal member of the Oglala Sioux tribe from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and I'm just here to maybe shed a little light on some of the women issues that we have to worry about off the res. I'm also
right.
Taking care of my mother, trying to be a traditional woman.
Jenny did mention, yes, I want to hear about that too. So who wants to start first? Why don't we start with the brother? The men are always first.
Okay. Yes. Man, there's so much going on here. What we've been doing is we've been kind of advocating for a lot of individuals, you know, within the community with issues that the police officers are targeting the homeless community, specifically Native Americans. The Cascade County Detention Center is drugging Native Americans using Librium, Narcanol, Diazepam. And these are just a few of the drugs that they are using as cocktails to give natives when they come in. And these individuals are entering plea deals that they have no recollection of actually engaging in because of these medications. And this is a big issue that we've been addressing for a long time. And one of the issues that has been really concerning is the COVID outbreak. Back in 2009, when the H1N1 broke out, I myself was in a Shelby prison, and they made a plan back then to help combat the virus and reduce the spread. And one of those was reducing the inmate population to those who were group complete, who were in a time frame of their discharge and parole, and part of it was social distancing, masks, and cleaning supplies and stuff like that. And, you know, I see the same nightmare that happened back then of how guards would infect, you know, people in the institution. And, you know, I see the same thing here. And what they are doing is they're telling the public that, you know, they misunderstood the governor's directive for, like, mask wearing and stuff like this. But when they get masks, they always say it's a security issue. So it's a really big issue that we've been advocating for. And in this process, we discovered that the DOC is not providing census forms to the individuals within the institutions. And what this is doing is this is depriving the tribes here services such as public schools, such as healthcare and other services that would help them with their addiction and mental health services. And, you know, we addressed this in the last census. And I used to be the facilitator for the Medicine Wheel Treatment Program in Deer Lodge, Montana, and in Shelby. And one of the things that we did at the time was we actually went through every Native that we had in the institutions, and we wrote down our tribal affiliation through the Medicine Wheel Program, you know, and we addressed this to the DOC. And they did not use that information. They just used what they had. And what they're doing is they're not marking people down as Native. They're putting Caucasian, or they're leaving it blank, or putting other. And, you know, this is a big issue. And this is like billions of dollars that, you know, are being withheld from the tribes. And that's, you know, part of some of the reason why, you know, the tribes are in this kind of predicament to where they can't, you know, come out of this, you know, slump of, you know, becoming, you know, a good, you know, having a good life.
Can I respond to that? That because that is a very big issue. I noticed that myself, not just with the Indians, but also with other races. In the prisons today, what they're starting to do with all these prisoners of all these different colors, they're starting to leave out their nationality or their races. And I noticed this.
Yes.
And there are many that have Spanish names that are not Spanish. There are many with Indian names. There's so many different names that what they're doing is they're completely leaving them out, just like they're trying to leave out all races in the United States of America. This is what they're doing as well. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I want the public to know this, that in the Department of Corrections, when you look up a prisoner, when you look up an inmate's information on the internet, you go into the Department of Corrections site where the prisoner locators, you are going to see that these prisoners are no longer being classified with any race at all, which does bring a problem with the funding, because no one knows the percentage of Indians, the percentage of blacks, the percentage of brown, Spanish, and whatever it might be. This is a major issue, because where is that money going to? Thank you for bringing that up,
yep,
brother.
One thing that I would like to, you know, address to the public too about the Department of Corrections here in Montana. Back in 2007, there was a computer scandal that involved child porn. It involved inappropriate messages such as videos. They were taking pictures of themselves, nude, sending it to each other. And this was 74 Department of Corrections employees. And instilled in these emails were racial remarks towards black people, towards Native people, and towards Mexican people. And these people are, they got a slap on the hand, and they are still, you know, in the high ranking positions today. And they're making decisions such as, you know, the assistant directors, public information officers, the legal department, and those two places are the places that are involved in covering up these scandals. And one thing that we discovered, what they did was Colleen Ambrose stuck in the policy. It's a hygiene policy. It's 4-4-1, and in this policy, she put in there that a policy to where they can cut hair specifically targeting Native people and Black people, and they fast-tracked it. So now it's the policy that gives them the power to cut Natives' hair, you know, who have long hair. And this has been going on. I addressed this to the Justice or the Law and Justice Committee here, and, you know, to, you know, because these people, you know, there needs to be some reform in the Department of Corrections, because they're not only ripping off tribal members, they're engaging in criminal activities on these state computers where there are guys who are sitting in prison 10 years to 100 years for the content that they engaged in. And these are department heads. These are people who sit on committees. And, you know, so this stuff needs to get out to the public to let them know what's going on. They actually have a lot of untreated sex offenders, a lot of untreated violent offenders, and a lot of people that are in this realm of the Department of Corrections. And we addressed this to Mike Cooney. We were invited to one of his fundraisers the other day. And when we got there, I was just, you know, disgusted with how he was doing things, because we were bombarded, you know, the only Natives there to address these issues about the department and about the census. And we were like targeted by his security. Like, they were trying to keep us from him. And, you know, we talked to him and they were like standing like in between us, and he was trying to like push them away, you know, let these people talk. And so it's just, it's an issue that, you know, we are not going to stop, and we are going to take action to hold these individuals accountable for everything that they're doing. And, you know, because they're locking up a lot of Natives. And one thing that they're doing here in Cascade County is they are stacking on charges, and they are offering them deals, making them think that it's a deal that they're winning. They have no evidence. They suppress evidence, and they use individuals that are on their list, you know, to build these cases as witnesses against these people. And they have no means to really, you know, defend themselves, because they are in a vulnerable position. They have, they're homeless, and they live paycheck to paycheck. And every election year this happens, and they target the Native community, especially the homeless. And we had one individual that made one of our elders, it was an officer, Gabe Larson. He's been doing this for a minute, tormenting the Natives, you know, on the streets here. And he made one of our elders, you know, pee in his pants, you know, because he jumped out of an unmarked car with, you know, a couple of other his goons that, you know, do this to the community downtown. And so this is one of the issues that I've been speaking out, you know, to get some, you know, get some attention on it, so that we can move towards getting some resolve and actually helping these individuals to get out of that slump. Because, you know, you continue to, you know, do this to people, they're, you know, they're not going to be able to be successful or live a life that, you know, that they can, you know, they have so much potential. And, you know, these people in power, you know, always, you know, put them down, and they do these things to everybody.
These people in power, it's a ego thing.
Yep.
And apparently a lot of people right now have the same passion you do to see justice. And this board is lit up with callers. So I need to find out who else is calling. Want to introduce your name, 402, number starting with 402. Your name? Number starting with 971. Your name?
My name is Mark Blackcrow.
And you're from?
I'm from Browning, Montana.
Okay. And 605? Number starting with 605? Okay, Mark, you want to talk a little bit about yourself and what's going on?
Wow. Well, this is my first time calling in. I was invited. You might know my mom, Jenny. She calls in all the time.
Of course, Jenny is, yes, I know Jenny. She's been very good and keeping me up to date with who's coming on.
Yeah.
So,
she's the one that invited me to get on this, her and Chinupa.
Brother was just talking about the treatment your culture, your Indians, your tribe. I want to say, and Chinupa brings this up all the time, this is an ongoing issue with all races, of all people of color. And it's sad because these people in leadership did not create America, nor did they create the world. And they did not decide.
No, they didn't.
And they did not decide who was going to be red, black, brown, white, beige, whatever. And the thing is, they need to know that everything around us is colorful. Flowers, trees, everything that we look at is of color. So why the pigmentation on someone's skin cannot be of color as well? We live in a country, and unfortunately, this show is only for an hour and a half, but we're going to have this continue because this is something that really needs to come on. It needs to be brought out. We're going to have another show to follow up on this show today. But I want you to go on with what you were saying. And I want to say another thing. The protests that are going out there in the world today, they may not have been as peaceful as people would have wanted. I mean, there might have been some things out of control. But what's happening now is beyond even the protesters, because we know for a fact there are others out there that are trying to make it look worse, to tear up more problems. I want everybody to know, these people that are coming forward to speak out about their cultures, their races, the injustices going on in their tribe, whatever it might be, these are the peaceful people. Look around you at who's trying to divide. I want the public to know that. Who's trying to divide? It's not these people that are crying out for help, that are crying out for justice. It's the people that are causing the injustices. People need to get smart. They need to use their heads. And we live in a country that is so full of vengeance and so full of retaliation and so full of hatred and so full of racism that they don't have time to think. They don't have the mind to think. So I want all of you out in the public that are listening to this show today to listen closely to what these people are saying and to actually remember these are all family. These are people that are trying to bring us all together, not divide us. Finish what you were saying, my brother. I am so sorry to interrupt, but these things I had to get out.
Oh, no, no. That's fine. You speak the truth, and that's what needs to be spoken nowadays is everybody's so scared to hear the truth. And the truth is, like you were saying, you know, they're dividing. That's their motto, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. The system was only built for the white, rich people, and that's it. That's it, yeah. Man. It's disgusting. Gross.
I also want to hear from my sister. She was going to be talking about the women, too. So we want to hear from her as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. I support my mom and her movement all the way. It's true what she says, you know. The men had their chance to lead, and this is where they led us to. Look at all these presidents, all of these politicians, all these rich white guys and all their fucking policies. And man, it just led us down a bad road.
They're only titles. They're not men. They're not men and they're not leaders. They're only titles. They just want to look good to others.
And they're false leaders.
They want to act like they're doing something when, in fact, they're not doing anything. If they were, there would be no division in this country today.
Exactly. Exactly. I strongly agree with you on that. But, yeah, I mean, I moved from Oregon, which is a very diverse place. There's a lot of racism there. And I've been feeling racism since I was 5 years old. I mean, I got locked out of the bathroom, had to just deal with a lot of stuff, a lot of things. Man, I don't even want to get on that because that brings up a lot of my trauma. But, yeah, racism is very strong. Racism's out there. Something that I've been fighting my whole entire life. Racism.
You know,
white supremacy.
I was in Florida one time, and I mentioned this before. I was in a store buying something, and I asked the lady how much the taxes were on the item. And she was so hateful, and she just was so ignorant when she answered me. And I told her, I said, I'm not from here. I said, I needed to know. But I was telling some people down there about it. And I said how she was really racist. And they turned around and they told me. Now, they told me about my own state, which is true. They said, where you come from in Massachusetts, it's more racist We at least know where we stand. Up there, they smile in your face and they stab you on the back. That is Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely Massachusetts. So
oh,
we
yeah.
know
it's everywhere.
That's it. It's everywhere. So go ahead. I'm not interrupting for the rest of the show.
Well, I don't really know what to really say. I was just going to listen and then just share my opinion with whatever topics other people had. I can talk about all sorts of things, but I want to give other people their opportunity to share too. And if you want me to speak, I'll speak.
You know, if I may ascertain a question and interrupt you real quick. This is Chinupa.
Yes.
Okay, can you hear me pretty good out there?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's really look at the system as a machine once. And I mean the system as a machine. It's like a toilet bowl. You got an arm to push it, and it flushes, and everything goes down the drain. But when you take a look at what's happening today in Indian country, I've called a lot of tribal members from different tribes to get on the show today to, you know, express what they see as a effective mechanism that is depriving people of their human rights, okay? And when sisters like Sister Leona and these young brothers are, you know, speaking, you know, towards the injustices, the xenophobia, the racism, the racial discrimination, the, you know, tolerance of that behavior that's, you know, illustrated from white supremacy. When I ask that understanding of that question about this machine, and when you look at this, civilized and modern man have always made attempts to assimilate even the machine. That's why you have a tractor, you have a semi, you have a automobile, a car, you have a bus, you have a boat. You have all these things that they created racism. But if those machines were to talk, okay? Those machines would tell them exactly how they are as that, you know, evil being. And I'm only using that as a small synopsis to understand something that our people are lacking. Our people are lacking the protection of our people's individual selves to implement and stand on our own protection clause of independence. Now, here's a good example, okay? And again, don't you guys take it wrong, and don't get offended by it, because this is how xenophobia works. That's why racism is a guaranteed aspect of living in white supremacy. It is guaranteed. No shit. So this is how you defeat them purposely. That way, we don't have incarceration, but because nobody's putting that emphasis on the white race, that's why we're subjugated to these behaviors. That's what you call preventive justice. But here's the catch, and here it is, folks. Tokatakya, we choye nita behenuk de hunta, mila huska kilena khabi yokte. Ne it shuhantaku lena wolak hota it chetka he olus papi hunta. Makhoche kile wabla zikihe oispena etaha. Hutopanaha, wiaka oyate glena echa, shumpahu, aikwakam na machpiatake uchomani. Hena echa wokiki unchima kanawakatkaki chimanetu. Nupri hechunse uispicham wamakaskanlena. Ho echuha ehane oyate on kithopi hechunse yab. Ashwana heglunipi. Ektuzapi. Wocheken taku kas hena unkit unkithawaki hena etoni unkunchi. Tokata kelena haskana ha mila haska kelena we choke topic hena to wake as hetsum say ya bina yahaka kusha eto na ois pab na eta ha da ku hena we choy shi choke he ai kwaki ois pab na cha yo bina tokata to ati yo tie kya. Now let's race it up like a etch a sketch and clear it back up. If you ask the audience what did I say, it's going to get real quiet. You see, long time ago in ancient times, before the that white devil or that, you know, the hairy man of the East ever came into our country, we lived according to the principles of Mother Nature, the winged creatures, and the four-legged, because the blessing came from the higher up, which was the great mystery. So today we forgot those elements of showing how we're supposed to protect ourselves, illustrate that, you know, preventive independence. So when I say preventive independence, that's the same way America has done that. So he prevents you from picking up. So our people are being prevented from picking that independence back up. The way I said it the other day with a multitude of people here in South Dakota, especially elders, because we were sitting out by my little brother Charlie Waters' place, one of my dog soldiers. We were sitting there in Carlin Red Blanket and Agent Medicine Horse. Us four were sitting with the grandpa and many other elders that came to get a blanket. And these blankets are comforters that will help them sustain their body heat throughout the winter months that are coming. So we were preparing our elders. I still got to make a run to go get corn and potatoes for my elders. I still serve our people from a dog soldier's perspective, because the white man reduced us to a different level. So we're codependent on his way of living. But I found places out there where people can help us freely and independently. And that's how I do it. So what I'm getting at, we have a spiritual guidance that's intellectual, okay? All of us do. And that's where our laws come from the traditions and the custom, okay? Prior to how, when you care for freedom, you believe in it. So when you believe in caring for freedom, what do you have? You have independence, correct? Those are those values, yes. Right? These are modern history's ways of implementing change and all this stuff. And I've been in the game since, you know, I was born in 1957. You know, I'm 63 years old now, pushing that 70 mark. And if I'm ever to obtain more of the strength of showing the vocabulary of our people, I'm still fighting the system, because I see our people are more or less protecting genocide and the behavior that white supremacy is compelling as an expression of their value to get you to look at what they're doing. And guess what? We're doing it. That's sad but true. So when sisters like Leona are giving us opportunities to face that understanding, why can't we all come to an understanding and put the blame on the white man? You see, when you take that effective measure and you put that type of, you know, enforcement of what they have, you know, illustrated through their redress of issues, I'm only using that as a term, a redress of issues. Historically, our ancestors, ancestral people, they used their heritage to protect themselves. That's how, in their terms, that's how preservation becomes prevalent enough for us to get back to. Because you can't learn how to be a Blackfeet, Navajo, Chippewa, Ojibwe, whatever you want to call them, Cree, Nez Perce, Lakota, Arapaho, Cheyenne, Crow. You can't learn that in school. Make sense? You learn that at home and amongst your people, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, see, yep. So we've been polluted by white America's behavior, okay? Because white America's behavior is a prime example how xenophobia works. Take a look at my black brothers and sisters. And I call them black brothers and sisters because they are my brothers and sisters, okay? When they were running from the slave master, we, the indigenous people, the red people of Turtle Island, took them in. And one of remarkable story that you never hear amongst the Choctaw people, my little brother, Junior, he's out in California. He's a full-blooded Choctaw kid that still preserves his language from his grandma's perspective and his father. But the Choctaw people created this little pathway for the African people to come in and intermingle with indigenous people during slavery days. And that little history of that story is called Crossing the Boxito. Okay? This is a Choctaw story where they took the African children and their families and made them come into protection of the indigenous people, which was the Choctaw Nation. They were a mighty nation at one time when they lived out there in the East Coast area, around in those regions where our sister Leona's from, up in Boston. There was a lot of great tribes that lived out there. But because of incidents like that, you know, that damn Boston Tea Party, that's how they annihilated a lot of our woodland people that lived out there in the Eastern Shore area. Don't ever forget that. The Boston Tea Party was not about taxation and without representation. No, it was to neutralize people that had land bases, that had fresh vegetables, our own Indian tobacco, everything. Because remember, the people that once lived out there where Sister Leona is from, in the state of Georgia, which, you know, is a false name, but they call that area, they call it the Alabama, which people turned around. The Alabama came up to the Biloxis, clear up into Georgia, and that was their natural territory because there was one serious tribe that lived there, and they were called the Paleos. The Paleo people were nothing but farmers. They took care of every vegetable that we had that was indigenous to this country of ours, okay? We had all of this here, so now that we taught the white man how to cultivate the land, live off the land, and grow things, he took all of our commodities and resources. Now he's selling them back to us. All that stuff they brought here was heinous and evil. See, if you know the history about the white man, and you listen, I'm really thankful that my grandma, my grandpa Roy, my grandpa I love so much, and my late mother, they instilled this understanding to me. They said, don't ever get close to the white man, because that is a devil. That wants your soul, and he wants everything you got. And the reason they taught me that understanding, to understand who my enemy was, they said that devil was released from captivity, and that's why those four ships brought him here. And that's true. So now when I look at my black brothers and sisters, I recognize one thing. They forced my black brothers and sisters to lose their taste. And that taste is wanting their language to remain free. And that white man did that. That SOB did that. That white man did that. And we indigenous people need to recognize that. Because that's what that white man's capable of doing. If you lose your taste, and that's a want for what you pray for, something good. Well, language is the greatest meal of all time. And if you ever lose your language, brothers and sisters, you cease to no longer be that person of that blood you're from. Mia malakota. So we talk organizations obeluspeki. Shahia la naha mashika ki lena weki. Yamani piki. Kachimi talki kusha obeluspe. I'm not only Lakota, which white people call Sioux. I'm also mashika, which again, the Spaniards and the Americans call them Mexican. Not true. They call Mashika people, they speak the language called Nahua, which I still speak to this day at the age of 63. And my third blood is Shahiala, which they call Cheyenne, when in fact they called Nochesta. So Mechista is the people of the sky and the earth. That's my Cheyenne blood. So I speak all of these three languages, even this heinous language called English. So I'm going to will it back to you guys from the forms of my social understanding what I gave you guys, because if we don't put the blame on the white man, we're never going to be successful of freeing anybody from captivity. I will it back to you, brothers and sisters, and thank you for allowing us to come on today, Leona. It's really a great blessing. Okay.
I need to have you back on, Chinupa. I need to have all of you back on, because you're talking something that everybody needs to know about culture. My mother was Lebanese. Okay, I'm going to tell you about the Arabs, because they have Arabs. Just like in Italy, in Sicilia, in Sicily, where they have the dark Italians, in all these other countries, Lebanon, you know, in the Middle East, all over the Middle East, they have the whites and they have the darker sections of these cultures. People don't realize it, but they look at the Irish. They call it the darker race of the Irish. They call them the Black Irish. So it's okay for them to look at themselves as being the Black Irish. Even then, they try to cover that up. But they need to look at all these different cultures all over the world, because these cultures have their shares of people of all different colors. They may be darker complected, they may be lighter complected, the areas that they live in. But I'm glad you brought this up, and we need to come back on it another time, too, because this is something that everybody needs to hear. Now, I'll wheel it back to the brothers and sisters. It's a topic that needs to be discussed.
Yes. Yes, can I say something else? This is Josh Butterfly. I'm with Project Open Doors here in Great Falls. And another issue that we are facing with the people that we represent, and it's a large number of Native Americans, there have been issues with employers who have been using that felony status to get them to do things beyond the scope of their duties. And these are individuals that are, you know, out here doing it. They're single mothers. They have bills. They have restitution, fines, and stuff like that. And some of them are working 2 to 3 jobs just to get by. And when they speak out about these issues, they are threatened to call their PO or the pre-release or, you know, get them sent back. And on July 28th of 2019, at 6 p.m., at the Boston's restaurant here in Great Falls, there was a chemical spill. And our executive director worked there, and he was exposed to this chemical for 5.5 hours, and it's called Firefighter GL38. It's an antifreeze. And what they did was they withheld the safety data sheet that gives specific instructions on what to do in regards to first aid, disposal, and providing this information to the employees and the public. And they would. We represent to push this chemical out the back door onto the streets. And this chemical, we made complaints to the staff, to the owners, the firefighter on call, and the supervisors and managers. And they told him that it was non-toxic whatsoever, that you could swallow it, touch it, and do whatever, and that he'd be fine. But he was having some complications from the exposure. And throughout the night, they made him finish his shift, and his clothes were saturated in this chemical. And what happened was he was making complaints that this food was getting into the pasta dishes that he was serving that night, and they allowed this to get to the public. And his own brother, you know, it's crazy that you brought up that position when people are riddled with power. You know, his own brother is Mario Bullchild, and he was one of those ones that, you know, use this position of power as a supervisor, and he would target, you know, our clients. And his own brother threw him under the bus, and he received chemical burns. He ingested this chemical, and what the owner, Shauna Rothwell, she gave him something to drink and to wash it down. And on the safety data sheet, it says to seek immediate medical attention and not to give anybody anything to drink. And today, if you drive by on 1101 7th Street South and you look at Boston, there's going to be this grass that's all dead, and that's where the chemical was. And they pushed this into the water drainage system, and you're not supposed to do that with this chemical. I used to work for ServiceMaster here, and that's one of the things that I picked up. They trained us on all these chemicals and what you're supposed to do, especially the safety data sheets. That's why we took action. And they what they do is they created such a hostile work environment. He just quit. He's like, I don't have to take this. And then he's been pursuing it. He spoke with the Law and Justice Committee here. And they are not only owners of Boston's. These were co-owners, and they were on site of this chemical spill when it happened. And they own Justin Jack's Big O Tires here. It's right next to Boston's. And then Sunrock Development, Inc. And, you know, they've been hiding this, and they fed it to the public. And a lot of these public that were involved that they fed it to were church people, because it was on a Sunday. And this is their highest clientele, and this is one of the days that they make most of the money. And they put profit over, you know, people's lives. You know, they endangered the public by doing this. And we've been speaking out. He's been speaking out. And, you know, this is something that the public has to know. And this is a Canadian company. They're coming down here, and they have these supervisors, this management team, that are doing this, dumping these chemicals on American soil and hurting American citizens. And, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed. And we've been, you know, pursuing this because, you know, we're concerned about the health of other people that ingested this chemical in the pasta dishes on July 28th. From 6 p.m. to closing. You know, this is a big concern because he still today has conditions that, you know, medical specialists are trying to figure out to help him, because this chemical, you know, he still breaks out with rash, and now he's lacking in vitamin D, and they all discovered that this was from this chemical that he was exposed to. You know, so this is something that the public needs to be aware of. And they're targeting Native Americans. They're targeting, you know, minorities that are in the Department of Corrections pre-release and probation. And we address these to the probation, and they don't want to get involved with this because they don't want to protect those people that they are supervising. And this is one of the things that they're...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did he finish? Hello?
I can hear everybody.
He stopped?
No, I don't think he finished. I think he has more to say. I talked to him yesterday, and he shared with me the same thing he's talking to you about. He's got more to say.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Philip Minihides. I agree with these guys. When I was in Missoula Pre-Release Center back in 1998, I was forced to go to school. I was forced to go to work. I was forced to go to counseling. Sometimes I wouldn't even get to eat. I moved up to a higher paying job. I earned my way into a higher paying job. Within 10 days, I was sent back to prison for nothing. Over a little being 20 minutes early. This was run by white people.
For being early?
The white people, early? Yeah, within 10 days, these white people sent 10 of us natives back. They opened it up to sexual offenders. We had to prove our bloodline just to use our sweat lodges. The kids were causing trouble, said they, up here in Great Falls, we asked them for a sweat lodge here in Cascade County. Here, they set me up with the Aryan Nation. They knew that we, as natives, were fighting the Aryan Nations. So they took and put me in a hole with handcuffs for 2 days without taking those handcuffs off of me. My hands were swollen. I put in a complaint. The complaint was thrown away. They put me back into the Aryan Nation within 5 minutes. Me and the guy was we had a fight. So they bear sprayed me. They put me back in the hole. I was in there for 90 days before they sent me down to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Away from my family. Away from anybody. But down there, they tried to get us for charges, all kinds of different things. We had to prove our bloodline again to use a sweat lodge. But they let another nationality use it. They know how to run a sweat lodge. They dug a hole inside the sweat lodge. They tried to heat the rocks up in the sweat lodge. They burnt the sweat lodge up. This is kind of what you look at. I understand these guys. They put you on airtime. If you mess up on their time, they write you up.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening real carefully.
What happened? Somebody just dropped. Was that him?
Yeah, that was the guy named Philip that...
Did he
hear
what he was seeing is happening. Hello?
Hello?
He must have dropped. He was put in the hole with handcuffs on it. Is he still with us? Hello? Hello? Chinupa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sister. I can hear you real clear.
I can't. There's someone I can't hear. He's in the hole.
Yeah, the individual that was talking, Philip Manyhides, he was talking about how the system eradicated him even when he was forced to do forced labor, forced education, and all this that complied to what was going on with, you know, the supremacy of the white man. By indoctrination, our people, he was sent back to prison, and they sent him around. You know, one of the biggest things that, you know, and I'll just say this for a little bit because I want to listen to everybody else, too. Our people lack one symbolic, you know, understanding for our people, and this is not condemning my people. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is our people need to start doing things the way we did it as a once free people of red people. Freeing red people. okay? We, and along with our African brothers and sisters and our Mexica brothers and sisters, and now our people of the Eastern culture, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, and so forth, Vietnamese, we built a heaven for this white man. And that's every city, reservation, towns, all that. That white man, we built that heaven. See? So people can't see that. And yet we're still struggling and fighting the things that we already know about. I want us to all come in a direction of fighting that man and putting that blame on him. Once you make the white man feel guilty about his arrogant behavior, because he's a dead race. Let's admit that, all of us. He's a dead race, so he's struggling to try to come back to life so he can continue to keep this racial abuse afflicting or on our people. That's what's happening. So I'm going to wheel it back to you guys because I get really frustrated because we're still in captivity when you're inside of a reservation, bad
yes.
or otherwise. Yep. And even in cities and towns, you're still in captivity because you got to have a symbolic number, whether it's your identification number on your driver's license or your Social Security card. It's right there, simple. We're all in jail. America is one big effing Indian reservation. Hello? That's what we need to start putting the emphasis on, folks. So I'm going to wheel it back to you guys. I'm going to continue to listen. It's a good show, Leona. Thank you for it.
I talked to Philip. He said that he was kicked.
He was what?
He said that he was kicked off the show.
He was kicked
off? He lost the call. Yeah.
Is he back on with us? Because I wanted to hear what he was saying.
Oh,
you know what? Wait,
my mom, Jenny.
Wait a minute. Let me see how many are on. 3, 4. You know what? It could have been. No, because somebody's coming back on. Hello?
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 Yes.
Yeah, this is Philip Minihead.
Oh, yeah, Philip, please go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Oh, you see, we used to have sweat lodges on Saturday. But when they sent us back to the Montana State Prison out of Albuquerque by Escondida, New Mexico, I call it Torrance County, they sent us there to punish us away from our families. We come back to Montana State Prison. They wrote us up so many times that, I mean, even the warden here, he laughed at it. He threw all the write-ups out. He put us back on the low side. But then the guards start messing with us again. They wanted to cut holes in our sweat lodge to see exactly what's going on inside there. I told him, well, if you had a church, had no windows, would you do that for us to let us see what's going on inside? And he started laughing, you know. I told him I used a sweat lodge to center myself back with Mother Earth. Back to the great mystery man. I told him I was taught this way by my grandparents. They laughed at me. They put me in a hole again. Also, used to be in there, and made me wonder why I'm getting away from these fucking white people anyway, you know? Maybe I could send myself there. You know, I pity a lot of our Montana State prisoners or prisoners around the world. It's just all political. It's the white man law. That ain't our law. We live by the land of Mother Nature. And that's the way I look at it today, is that they're holding them political prisoners. It's like Leonard Peltier, you can name a few of them that they keep in there. For what reasons? There's no reasons there. You know, I've been waking up and realizing how much the fucking white man fucked our world up. Fucked Turtle Island up for their greed. You know, they use their laws to take our children away from us. Which I've been reading on some stuff that it's really sad of how they take the children, and our own fucking tribal government is letting them do it. They're letting these guys go ahead. They're letting these guys go ahead and take our children.
This country,
this
country, unlike other countries, consists of leaders that they're like children. They're like little kids. They don't know how to deal with the tragedies and the traumas that a lot of people of color have gone through, even those overseas. They don't talk about it on the news every second of the day, every day of the week, every week of the month, every month of the year. They talk about it one day or 2 days, and that's it. These people that in the media, they will dwell on something for months and months and months and even years. And when I was saying about the Arabs earlier, I didn't finish because my mind, as my age, there was a woman who considered herself black. She was Arab. She got in trouble because she said she was black. Well, hello, you know, if we're of color, we consider in this country, it's either black or white. So when we talk about unity, all races of color need to come together instead of trying to pretend they're white if they're in a high position. They need to all come together and they need to fight. If we fight the white man is fighting us in a smiling way, we need to be able to defend ourselves, our loved ones. When you said they sent you away, they abused you all that time. It happened in my own situation, my own one. 12 years being abused, and then coming back to file a lawsuit, coming back to Massachusetts only to get abused. So I know exactly what you're talking about with these people in this country and in this state and other states as well. There's so many people that are so phony, they will smile in your face while they're stabbing you, your mother. We need to come together, all races of color. We need to come together.
Yes, I agree. I wanted to let you know that Josh Butterfly was also kicked. He messaged me and told me he was kicked, but he's listening.
Is he on now?
He said he's listening, but he's not able to talk. He wasn't able to finish what he was saying.
I don't know why.
Hello?
There may be more than enough on the call. Let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6. They may only have a few people that can call in at one time. There's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 on now. I think it holds up to 10, so he could try calling in again.
Okay, I'll let him know that. He's listening, he said.
Okay.
You know, Shane, I was saying something about, you know, we talk about the medicine wheel. You know, that medicine wheel is 4 colors. You got the red, you got the white, you got the yellow, and you got the black. I was reading this thing, these people are talking about how they're webbed. They're talking about the dream catcher. I told them, which one are you talking about? I asked them, which one are you talking about? I said, first you talk about the medicine wheel, then you talk about the dream catcher. I think I remember on the medicine wheel, we're all webbed together because it represents all nationalities of the world. And those colors go to the middle. But when you start, one color starts trying to dominate that medicine wheel, there's only one color that corrects it, and that's that red. And that's who we are. We're red. Right now, the white man, the white's trying to dominate that. It's up to the red to correct it. That's what they're telling us. Those old ones are telling us to correct this. Correct this wrong done to our people. The only way we can do that is by voicing, letting them know our voice. Hear us. Not be silent. Not be like idle. Don't idle no more. Fuck them. Idle no more. Where did they go? We're in this for 100%. I mean, time to take our pick back what's ours, our homeland. These people got to understand that. We're seeing the Mother Earth. And they're never going to get rid of us. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about my experiences in Oregon when I was a health inspector working on a big farm they had. It's something to do with what Josh Butterfly was talking about, the chemical spills. So every day I would have to check fire extinguishers, all the safety requirements. And one of my employees or one of my coworkers, he would have to go around and check everything we would spray with his hand. And that chemical, what was that? They just had a big thing, a big lawsuit that causes cancer. I forgot what it's called. But when I brought this up, to my supervisor, one of the owners of this company, he told me that this chemical was safe enough to drink. So I told him then to drink it, because since I've been doing that, was testing it to see if it was sprayed on certain plants, I was getting headaches. I was starting to get sick from that. So instead, because I was the health inspector, I was making sure that everybody was healthy and doing their thing, he told me to just leave it alone, otherwise I was going to lose my job. So he silenced me by doing that. So I ended up quitting afterwards. But there's a lot of minorities in Oregon that work in agriculture and in the canneries, you know. And what these people, these white people don't understand, these corporations don't understand, is they don't get their food unless there's minorities planting, cultivating, and canning and shipping out their food. It's sickening to think that they just have it all. It's just, man, I don't even know. That's all I have to say about that subject right now.
Okay, anyway. Oh, where's our sister? She was going to be doing some talk.
Me, Ursula?
Yes, I'm sorry, Ursula. Can you? We've been putting you on the back burner. Come on up and start talking about what we're waiting to hear about the women.
Oh, no, I enjoyed the gentleman that was talking about them taking our children. They're using them same tactics to take our elders away from us because they want their money, want them to be in nursing home beds. I've been having that struggle down here with my mom, and proved even the doctors wrong, proved everyone wrong to try to help my mom. And we need warriors to stick up for our elders also, because they're being abused. They've been abused enough. And it's time for them just to be happy. And it's upsetting that we have to. I had a hell of a time with the system down here with my mom. We have to go in there and throw all this white man lingo at him all the time just to make them listen, when they still don't listen because they don't care about us. And I'm down here with the Mexican population, but it's like the Mexicans are prejudiced against us also. And that's disheartening, because I can't get any help or any kind of allies here. And I had to fight the system myself just to keep my mom out of the nursing home. They had her over-medicated, saying she was dementia, but she was over-medicated and insulin drunk. And if I was just like any other person and just didn't care about my mom, she would still be in there, insulin drunk and over-medicated. And these things are upsetting, very upsetting, because they are using the same tactics as they take our children, is they're starting to take our elders away from us.
You know, it's sad. If you notice, even the Mexicans probably are just upset with this country, not so much the Indians, you know, your tribes. But if you notice, even their children have been taken, those from Guatemala, all those countries there, their children. And who's taking the children from these families? It's not the people of color.
Yeah.
And they don't even know who the parent. They can't even return the children to the parents because they don't even know where these children belong anymore.
Yes.
You know, I want to say one thing real quick. We're living in a country, unfortunately, where people are ignorant of the fact, these leaders, of the fact that there's a lot of whites who have interracially married. You know, there's a lot of whites who are bringing in children who are of color, because it's the interracial marriages. I think interracial marriages are good because it shows that there are white people who are not prejudiced. But then again, you've got the majority out there that are in leadership are people that just have no clue and they could care less. The wrong people get in leadership, and that's why I say it's important for everybody to vote, because we need to vote these people out. And we need to put people in that might have a heart. And I'm going to say another thing. Our own minority population who are in leadership, lawyers, you know, politicians, they need to do more. Because they sit there and they enjoy their power. And they could care less about their people of any color. So I'm just as upset with them as I am. Just like politicians. I don't like the leadership we have now. But I haven't seen Democrats or Republicans do anything. So what am I going to vote for if they can't even help us until it's time for a vote? So I don't care who gets it anymore. I decided, you know, it's good to get the voting out there, but who do you vote for? People that don't even care. A lot of talk until it's time to vote, and then they're all over you in emails and everything else. I just have to say that because I'm disgusted with our people who get right in that clique with the whites who think that they're the most powerful people, and they forget where they came from.
Yes.
Back in 2013, this is Philip Menez. Back in 2013, we split our government. We split our government to find where a lot of them were stealing. They're corrupted. It's like my sister Jenny, my sister Jenny Minihide there. Our uncle over crossed what's name talking about, Earl Olperston. Now, you know, I remember the chief before him, the old man James Whitecalf. Old James Whitecalf, he was always worried about his people. He made sure that his people had everything. Now, Earl Olperston doesn't do that. It's like they say, he's an IRA Indian. And I see a lot of these IRA Indians now trying to play Indian.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have nothing. They don't have no ties to Mother Earth. They sell her ways. They sell her. And that's what's really sad, is that we have a group called Crazy Dogs. They ducked me in, but they broke me down so hard that just a couple of weeks ago, I was on my deathbed there. But I believed in my dream. My grandma come to me. She come to me as a small person. She told me, tell your sister that rock. Bring that rock to you. She brought me the rock. That rock, I told him I couldn't do the ceremony inside because inside locks all her prayers up. So they took me outside. Those nurses witnessed that. They did those tests that day. The next day, those tests came up negative because I believed. I believed what my grandparents had told me. They're still here. They're never gone. They're just in a different domain, as they say.
Amen.
But they're still here to help us. And that's one thing that these white men can never take from us is our ancestors. Our ancestors are always going to be here. And the Bible tells you, oh, they're gone. They're not gone. They're still here. They're still here, and they're coming back. They're coming back slowly. They're going to come back here. They're going to help us. It's like the white man says that Jesus is coming back. Well, our ancestors are coming back, too. That's one thing that they better understand. Mother Earth can correct them, and she's the one going to correct them. You know, it's sad. It's sad that they enforce these white man laws on our people. They got to remember the law of the land is that's what we go by. We honor our mother all the time. We honor the sun, the grandmother, Morningstar. We honor all that. My people were star people. They watched the stars. That's how they knew what things were going on. Nowadays, the people don't watch nothing. They didn't watch their bank accounts. They watch their TVs, their phones. That's all they do. They never get back out to reality. They never try to ground themselves back with Mother Earth. They're up there. They're way up there. That's where our tribal governments are. They see a dollar sign. Hey, they're no longer your friend. You ask them for help, and we ain't got no money. Why? Where's all the money? It's in their fucking pockets, in their bank accounts, their families. I see poor families that are suffering. In 2013, we went to Heartbeat, Montana, on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. This guy went to go check on his auntie. She had four little kids with her. Apple, an orange, and a couple pieces of bread. That's all she had in her house. She was breaking her own wood furniture up to keep her house warm. We went and asked the tribe. My cousin said, no, fuck them. He said, I got a little bit of money. So we bought her some food. We bought her cut some wood, chopped up for her and everything. This is what a crazy dog was supposed to do. It's like the strong hearts. You know, our crazy dogs are so show nowadays. They'd rather be on portraits, movies, and stuff like this. They lost it because they're IRA. My grandparents didn't give up. They kept the ceremonies going. There's five families that they talk about on their Blackfeet Reservation that kept it going. So that's why I believe strongly in what my grandparents put in me, what they showed me. I believe strongly in their ways. Their ways going to come back. They keep following that book. It's only bringing you someplace else. In our language, we don't have a word for hell. hell was ever taught to our people until they brought the black book. When the black book come, they made us submit. They took what they wanted. They murdered our people. Women, children, elders, young warriors, you name it. The white man law now is another form of genocide. They're trying to take our children, just like you say, elders. They're trying to take them all away, plus our young warriors. They're putting them in prisons. For what? These little petty crimes? A native gets sentenced higher, given more years, than a white man. A white man's got more privilege than any other color. Because it's their laws. Their laws that they pass every time. But do you ever see a genius person, any color, other color but the white, on the medicine wheel? Do you ever see them get their voices heard? So we're not tied yet. That's where the red's got to come in and correct it. That's what I'm talking about, the medicine wheel. The red's got to correct it. They balance it back out again. Let them know that our voice is still here. We're still here. And they're blind to seeing us. They are blind to seeing. Thank you. They're blind to seeing that, hey, you can never wipe the red seed off the Mother Earth, off that medicine wheel. You know, I see a lot of people using medicine wheel, but did they really understand it? I don't think so. You know, it's going to be told, hey, those four colors represent everything. That's how we're tied on the medicine wheel. That's why Creator gave us that medicine wheel, to show that we're all brothers and sisters. But when that, like I say, the only color trying to dominate that right now is the white. It's going to take the red to correct it. And that's why I choose to speak out on things, not be silenced no more. You know, I see children, it's like you say, the elders. I'll share a little story with you. I moved to Missoula, Montana. I was only about 19 years old. We went back for my other grandma's funeral. I got worried about my grandma, Nellie Dayrider. So I went over to the nursing home. My grandma was still in dirty clothes. I said, why is she cleaned up? So I went to Earl Operson. He said, oh, okay. He went over there. But as soon as they seen him coming, they really went and changed her up. Well, why not for me? Earl's just a man. He is not a hereditary chief. I come from the hereditary chiefs. Mountain Chief, I come from Two Guns White Calf. Those are my family bloodlines. But when we come walking in there, they didn't do nothing. But when they said Earl coming, they sure went in there and changed that old lady up. And I said, this should be done all the time. This is still somebody's mother, still somebody's grandmother, and still
That's
somebody's
right.
Loved one.
That's right.
And in these goddamn places, they're just there for a paycheck. That's not their family matter, so they don't really give care. But when you are a family that cares, you know, they try to hide it. I asked them, when's the last time my grandma? They were sedating her, is what they were doing. You know, my grandma's voice has to be heard. And that's something that I don't see a lot of people speaking up on. Why ain't they protecting their elders? You know,
yeah.
Our elders are the ones with the knowledge. They're the ones that teach us the knowledge. They show us the knowledge. There's a song that they taught us, and it was this song. It was, it belongs to the Red Blanket Society. And that's a song, when we do have our rally stuff, that's a song I'm going to use for Red Blanket Society. But there's another song that we're going to use too. And my nephew asked me to use this song. So we're going to use that song. But you know, right now, the way I feel about everything out here, it's wrong. I go and ask, a sick homeless person goes and asks, the opportunities down here, they told me I have to go back to the homeless shelter. Going back to the homeless shelter, I was kicked away for speaking out for an elderly woman during the wintertime. This elderly woman did nothing wrong. So I asked them, well, what did she do wrong? She don't understand. They told me, well, you can go with her if you're speaking up for her. I said, shit, child, go with her. Call your cops. They called the cops, and I explained to the cops. Remember, this is an elder. This is someone's mom, grandmother, sister, auntie, best friend, whatever you may call it. I said, but this lady doesn't deserve to be thrown out in the wintertime. The degrees at the time was 10 degrees below zero. The cop agreed with me, So he got her a room for a couple nights, but his old lady was Minnie Chiefstick. The old lady, she passed away. I knew her when I first moved to Missoula. She helped me quite a bit. Gave me some knowledge, helped me understand things. I give props to the old lady. This is what goes on in the cities. Last year, in the wintertime, they gave us temporary body bags to sleep in. I was sleeping. I got woke up. When I got woke up, as I looked at the bag, it had date of death, had the person's name, and the doctor that signed it, the coroner's name, on tapped on. It was tagged on these things. That's what they're doing to the homeless here. They're starting to give them body bags for what? I took their body bag. I gave it back to them. Don't you ever fucking do this to me ever again. I know what these are. You know, it's really sad that the government, the so-called Blackfeet tribal government, sits there and lets them do this to their people. Some of the stuff that they do up on our reservation is sad. While the elders are asking for wood, well, who's going to provide us for this winter? They ain't got nothing set up. Yeah, pretty sad, but I agree with the lady there that said that, you know, what about our elders? You know, you see a lot of these guys say, well, this is where I come from. Well, start acting like it if you come from there. If you come from that old person, well, act like how, treat them how, treat people how they would treat people. Nowadays, you can't even go to a person's house. They think you're stealing, or they're going to kick you out of there. That even goes for our own families.
You know what I believe?
That's what I got to say about that.
Yeah. I believe if CNN News, if MSNBC, if Fox 25 or Fox News were to stop putting all these people on their shows with degrees, and stop talking so much about Donald Trump and the COVID virus, and stop putting people on that have been there, have done, and can be the best ones to talk to. Because years ago, when I did social work, I was able to relate to my clients, and they were able to relate to me, because I came from a multicultural family background. I was an abused wife. I was a single parent. I was struggling myself. I had a problem drinking. I had a lot of these issues that my clients were dealing with. These people that they keep bringing on CNN News, MSNBC, Fox TV, all these stations, these people have degrees, and they don't have a bit of experience. What they did when I did social work, they brought these people right out of college, these young people from privileged homes with no husband, no children, nothing. And they put them in the homes. They don't even teach them about cultures in these universities and schools. So they put them in these homes, different cultures, going through all kinds of situations, and they expect these people to be able to help these families. What they do is they go in the home and they threaten the families. You do it my way, this, or we're going to take your kids. Then they file parent protection petitions. And the next thing you know, those children are out of the homes into a foster home that may have raped them or molested them or beaten them. This is what happens in these social service agencies. And this is what happens on the news. They keep bringing in these people that have not a clue about anything, but yet they're getting out there feeling their ego again because they're in the media, because they're being heard and seen by all these people that are looking up to them as though they're some kind of heroes. They don't realize the people they're bringing on are being laughed at because they don't have a clue. They need to bring people on like you that have been there, that have seen it, that have gone through all this. We need to get out of this egotistical world, the country that we're living in, and start bringing in the real people. Don Lemon needs to bring in people that are going through it. You know, all this. Anderson Cooper. They need to bring people in like you to talk about the real issues. Get off of this COVID. I don't care about this COVID anymore. I don't care about Trump anymore.
Could I say something?
Please.
I'm calling which is so-called Navajos, but it's the Netra. And my name is Etta, and there needs to be experienced people that went through things that has to work in the social service with experience. You can't talk about an issue or either had gone to school and just go by the book to know, to think that you're going to correct some problems that people have. And right now, everybody is so controlled by either the Democrats or the Republicans. And what right now, take a look at Mark Charles is running for independent. And in some states, if you're independent, you can't vote, you know, when the Democrats and Republicans. So look at your state, what they're doing. And that's what we're learning about New Mexico. So right now, if all the tribes throughout the United States vote for independent, you are no longer controlled by Republicans or Democrats, because this is not what you call leaders, what they call themselves leaders in the white men's words. So if you take a look at it, everybody has to get out and vote, but the thing is, now our tribal leaders are beginning to run their reservations, and some of them are treaty tribes, and they're not looking at the treaty, and then they're saying, oh, sovereignty. And they run behind the sovereignty when they get in trouble, but the sovereignty still takes care of the people. Because on the Navajo Nation, we have presidents, we have leaders now that want to do, okay, shut down. And the president is blaming New Mexico and Utah, Navajos, and bringing virus back to the reservation. Well, tell your people there to stay put. And he can't just be out there blaming and just trying to control. And he's running this operation like, you know, I'm just going to say economic operation, because it's not for the people. And I sent a text to the vice president, and I said, you give this to the president. There's no damn leaders that have their phone numbers, their email. And I said, they don't listen. So I don't even respect them anymore as calling leaders. I'm not going to call them honorable anymore. I said, I'm going to call them, you know, what are you for, the Cowboys or the Indians? And so, you know, you're right. You're right in the middle of this. This pisses me off, because this future, what we're living right here, right now, we have to fix this for our children. They're the ones that are going into this. And that's where everybody is not understanding. It's not about me, you know. It's about the children. It's about the future, the ones that are right behind us, our grandkids, our children. And we have to take a stand, because the treaty, we all know the treaty is tied to the land, and the treaty is tied to us. And we're going to have to take a stand and make sure we let these leaders know. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion to your leaders. I'm not. I tell them right straight to rep. You want to run, and you say you want to run, and you want to fix things. And I fix that out of you. So this is just the way we are, you know, where we're at right now. But we have to put our grandchildren and our children right here in front of us and say, this is who we get up for. This is who we're doing it for. This is who we have to remind ourselves every morning and pray about it. And yes, all the people that went before us, our ancestors, they watch everything we do every day. Our Earth Mother that we walk on, and that's who we have to think about. And then also the Father Son. And then at night, there's our Grandfather Moon and all the stars. So, but that's all I want to share with you, and blessings to everybody, and just keep talking. Just keep saying what you have to, and do it for our grandkids and our children, because anytime I voice out, I tell our leaders, I am a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm an aunt, I'm a sister, And I'm speaking for the ones that can't speak for themselves, which is our children and grandkids.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was wondering, can
thank
any of you
Etha.
Do any
can
of
I
you
talk,
have children?
But we run out of time.
Do any of you have children or sons or daughters or anybody in prison now?
I do not.
No?
I have relatives, other relatives.
Well, that's what I mean. You do have relatives in there now.
Yes.
And has the treatment changed with them? Has it changed any more with them that it did with Philip and the some of you that had experienced all that pain?
No, I don't think it. I don't think they ever change. They just add more and more rules on. You know, they don't let the prisoners voice anything. A prisoner has no voice. They're just a number. And that number helps them get their funding. Just like our friend there was talking about earlier, that when they got cut off, you know, they take your time from you. If you're doing good, they find a reason to fuck with you otherwise. And when they fuck with you, they add more time on to you. They take your good time away from you. So you get a different date to get out. But when you get out of there, they still try to bind you. They stereotype you. Well, he's a felon. He's a felon.
Yeah.
I worked with the U.S. Forest Service, even though I was a felon, but I was still kept right because my boss was a native. But when I went back home to sign up for a job, oh no, you're a felon. We can't, you can't apply for the job. I said, well, I applied through the U.S. Forest Service. But my own tribe turned me down because I knew what they were doing. They were corrupt. Even our fire program is corrupt. That's why our Blackfeet Nation fire program, which we're called considered number one in the world, is gone. Because they 638ed that contract, so they become a contract. So those leaders hurt our people again. They hurt the money that we used to get us through the winter, to get our children clothes to go to the white man's school, pay our bills. You know, in 2013, Earl Olsen, since he's a chief, should have been up there taking care of his people during our Arctic cold front. But he chose to be down here giving Bill Cosby the name Shadow. Indian name Shadow.
Given who?
What does Shadow mean to me? Remember Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
He gave him the name Shadow. And what Shadow means to me is that, hey, you can't see nothing. It's dark. You can only see his shadow, but you can't see what he's really about.
Wow.
I sat there. I had to go to the tribal council and ask the people. I had to talk to the tribal council. Look at even my own cousin. Even he's a thief. I asked him, hey, what would your grandpa tell you? You want to be a leader. You're leading this crew. They said, kid, he tried to throw me out. I told him, no, I'm claiming myself as a crazy dog. I'm standing here as a crazy dog. I have more law than you. So when we talked to them, the next day, they went down there. They were still fighting amongst each other, like little girls, these councilmen. I call them blanket asses because they sit on their asses on a blanket and don't do shit. Sit there. That's what the Blackfeet Tribal Council is to me. I don't see them doing anything good for their people. You know, they talk about how our leaders are supposed to be. Lead your people in a good way. Make sure everybody's counting for it. Make sure everybody's with you. But these guys, they leave all their people behind because they're chasing that white man's dollar. They don't care about the people. These guys were taught all IRA. Even some guys older than us don't even know what us younger people know. Because they weren't taught. They were IRA'd out of here. Relocation out of here. And they come and they ask us questions. You know, I kind of look at them, well, you're older than me, you should know more than me. You know, but they don't.
Now,
we
have about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to find out, the board's lit up, I wanted to find out if there's anyone on that hasn't spoken yet.
Yeah, it's me, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. I just wanted to give everybody a chance. We've got about 5 minutes left, but we're going to have this follow-up next, if you're available next Friday. But I just wanted everyone to get a chance to say something. But I wanted to say real quickly to the brother, he mentioned when they come out of prison, they have this label as felony, and they have trouble getting jobs. And I think that happens in a lot of states. But in Massachusetts,
Josh wasn't able to speak, but he wanted me to speak.
With the Corey, because this is why a lot of people are unable to get jobs. Do they have anybody, any of the legislative members in your state that are working on the Corey's to do away with Corey's?
Not that we know of.
Okay, this is something that maybe we can check into to find out. They're working on it here. It hasn't happened. It has. If it's a nonviolent crime, they say after 5 years, I believe, you can do away with the Corey. They can't use your time in prison against you. But this is something that maybe we can check out on, too.
I wanted to share something, Josh, what if I wanted you to share about Let Them Come Home movement. It's about the incarcerated people that are forced, well, not, I guess not forced, but due to COVID-19, he wanted me to share about that movement, Let Them Come Home.
Yes, there's a lot of nonviolence in trying to, because the COVID is in the prisons now. In Ohio, I hear there's over 800 cases, I believe.
Yeah, that's BS.
BS.
Okay, well, I think my mom wanted to talk.
Right, I was just going to say, Jenny, you mentioned that you had something to say. You want to speak?
Well, I just want to let everybody know, you know, how I feel about what everyone shared today. And I go back to the first conversation I had with you, you know, personally on the phone, and what about how our people see this world, you know. And what really, to me, and the inspiration to hear this, because all these things that you guys are sharing, you know, it's real. It's very real. And then we talked about our traditions and everything, like Etta saying, and what, Kim? And then we have to look back about our own stories, our own creation stories and everything. We always got to look back at that, to help us to understand what's going on today. It's very true. It's about the children. It's about the children now. And it's always going to take the woman, because, you know, she's the one that shelters that child the most. So our teachings are about the grandmothers, about Turtle Island. Yeah? And I always say, you know, they had long enough. Now look what they did. They destroyed everything. Now it's our time. This is our time. Until our people get it right amongst ourselves, and we talk about traditions and what, then we'll understand each other. But for that, I'm going to speak about that white buffalo calf. She was a female. She was born up here in exactly 7 years from the time that I took a picture. And then, I have that. But this was, 7 years exactly. And seven of our tribes came together and spoke about the things, these things that are coming right now. But these were already foreseen and foretold, so... No, so we shouldn't have such a hard time to understand it. So we have to bring that understanding back amongst ourselves. We can't be abusing it and misusing that anymore. We talked about the treaties. Yeah, that's the only thing that we have to stop them right now, but we have to learn it and live by it ourselves if that's what we're talking about. Well, we have a big battle here. Everybody else, yeah, the Democrat and Republican thing, yeah, what Chinoopa said all the time. He always said it was illegal because it wasn't a third party. That's why I don't vote. It's like Esther's saying. Why do I want to vote for a system that already abused me? And I didn't let it abuse my children. I kept them out of their schools and what. I call them institutions. I kept them out of there. I taught them what I want to teach them.
Chinoopa, Jenny, Philip, all of you, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I really hope that you can come back next Friday. I will get in contact with you, Jenny or Chinoopa. I really enjoy
All right. Sounds good. I'll be looking forward for next week. Thank you all. Great show, Sister. Yeah. Great show. Great show. It's a great show.
Love you all for it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janupa. Yep. Thank you, Jenny. And we will see
you next Friday.
We are now signing off, everyone. We are now signing off, everyone. And I hope you'll all be with us next Friday, the same time, to listen to all of our Indian tribes from Montana, South Dakota, and Utah, and all those places. I enjoyed having you. And again, thank you all for being on. We are now going to be signing off.
Mm-hmm.